Today we're going to conclude the first part of this series, the three-in-one series. We're talking about the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are separate in identity, but all three work together in unity and function. And when we allow all three to be operating in our life the way that Scripture has instructed, the more we understand the roles, individual roles, the more they can work in harmony together, bringing us into a more full, rich, intimate relationship with the Godhead. We've heard God the Father, we've heard God the Son, and we've heard God the Holy Spirit, but some of you, we didn't know that all three are separate. Now, next week, we're going to be starting the Holy Spirit portion of this series. And so this is an incredible teaching for every believer. If you've never been taught the Holy Spirit and what its role and function is in our lives, we're going to be answering some difficult questions about the Holy Spirit. We're going to bring it out to you and just unfold it and see what the Word of the Lord says. And I guarantee there's so many people here, you're going to have just a revelation of how much God really loves you. You're going to have a revelation of how much He really has sent His Helper, the Holy Spirit, to transform us. And so many of you have questions. You don't want to miss that series. I can promise you many of you have friends who have questions about the Holy Spirit. If you have friends, you know, who have been asking questions about how do I grow in the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? This will be a great series to invite them to attend with you to learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, today we're going to conclude the Son portion, the Jesus portion we've been talking about, with the message, Jesus the Christ. Everybody say, Jesus the Christ. That was pretty weak. Let's say it again. Jesus the Christ. One more time. Jesus the Christ. This is an important word because we see, let's go ahead and go right to our text in Acts chapter 17. Paul was talking to the Jews and he was trying to explain to them. Acts 17 verses 2 and 3, it says Paul was, as his custom was, he went to them, talking about the Jewish nation, and he was there for three Sabbaths. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ, the who? The Christ, that's what he said, demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer to rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is who? The Christ. He said, Jesus is the Christ. And the reason why it's important, because we see in Acts 18:5, he comes back and does it again. 18:5, he says, and Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia. Paul was compelled by the Spirit. He testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Skip down to verse 28. He powerfully refuted the Jews publicly, showing from Scripture that Jesus is the Christ. And the reason why this is important, remember now, we always talk about the Old Testament always foreshadows the New Testament, teaching us of the relationship that God has always designed for us to walk in. In the Old Testament, we don't see the word Christ used. We see the word Messiah used. You'll find the word Messiah. They prophesied of the coming Messiah. The Messiah would bring this. The Messiah would do this. The Messiah would come. Messiah would come. Messiah would come. So you see in the Old Testament, they used the word Messiah. But the word it translates into the New Testament was the word Christ. Christ. And the word Christ means, the Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. Today, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. And the reason why this is important, remember, we think about it. Okay, what was the anointed one? And we look in Scripture in the Old Testament as we see the foreshadowing of the anointed one. We see where there was three groups of people who were commanded to be anointed in Scripture. Three groups of people. The first one was the prophets, the priests, and the kings. The prophets, the priests, and the kings were anointed. They had to anoint these people. They were anointed of God, and they were called forth and anointed because God said, anoint them, anoint them. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, we see where prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. Why were they anointing them? They didn't know why. Only God said it, so they were anointing them. God said, anoint them. They were anointing them. They're anointing them. They're anointing them. Don't realize what's going on. All they know is that the prophet's anointed, the king's anointed, the priests are anointed, until we anoint, until we anoint. And so now when the Christ comes, he is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. And the reason why that's great news for you and I is this, that now Jesus Christ is the prophet. He is the priest and he is the king. No longer do we have to anoint these other people. God says he came, he was the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the Christ. the Anointed One. And so that brings a different revelation to you and I. It helps you and I to understand this, simply this. Jesus is my prophet. Jesus is my priest. And Jesus is my king. It's a personal thing now. We've been given who he is. Now, scripture backs us up in Deuteronomy 18:18. Look what it says. I will raise up, prophesying now, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Remember, Jesus prophesied about himself, this very verse. It says, I am this come to flesh. Everything you hear me say, it comes from the Father. You won't hear me say anything. It doesn't come from the mouth of God. Back this up. He says, this is the prophet. Zechariah 6:13 prophesied. Look what it says here. Yes, he will build the temple of the Lord. Then he will receive royal honor and will rule as a what? As a king. Jesus, talking about Jesus. He will rule as a king from his throne, and he will also serve as a priest from his throne. And there will be a perfect harmony between his two roles. There will be perfect harmony between the two roles. So we see the roles of the prophet, the priest, and the king that Jesus was prophesied. Now he is the Christ. He is the anointed one stepping into these roles. See, they didn't even understand why they were doing this, but it simply is this. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. So let's answer it now. Let's make it more practical. How does that relate to you and I today? And why is this important? Number one, what does it mean that Jesus is my prophet? It simply means this, that I can hear from God. This is a big deal. You should be really excited about this word right here. I can hear from God. This should get you really excited because you have the ability to hear from God. It's who he has designed us to be. He is my prophet. He is here to speak to me. This is really good news. Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says it like this. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall what? All. They all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember them no more. This is a really cool promise to you and I. Prophesying about Jesus, that when he comes, that we're going to know the Lord. They will know me from the least to the greatest, and I will forgive their sins. See, this is the great thing, that when we come into the covenant of the cross, that we walk in, that now we have the ability to know him in such a close way. He's forgiven us of all of our sins, and now we have the ability to know him. And how many love benefits? Don't you love benefits? How many love it when your job adds benefits to your pay? Anybody here like that? Yeah, you get really excited about that. We like receiving those benefits. Doesn't it really, though, chap you when, come on, let's be honest, when somebody comes on new to your job and they walk in and get the same benefits you took you 10 years to get? Doesn't that really just drive you crazy? I had to work 10 years, and we had to protest, we had to do this. Finally, we got this raise, or we got this benefit added. And then somebody else gets hired next week, and they walk right into the benefits. You're like, man, that's not fair. See, Jesus even addressed this attitude. He talked about it when he talked about the parable of the vineyard worker. Remember that? He said, man, this guy had a lot of work to do, so he went out and hired a guy to work full-time all day. Hey, I need you to work today. Help me pull in my vineyard here, work here. We got a lot of work to do. I'll give you a full day's wage. And they agreed on the wage. And he hired that guy. And about halfway through the day, he said, man, we got a lot more going on. We need to pick it up. So he went out and hired somebody else, hired some more workers, brought them in. And he said, I'll give you a full day's wage. Just come and finish out the rest of the day with us. And then at the very last hour, they were running behind, still needing more time, more people to get it, manpower to get it done. So he went out and hired some more people and said, hey, I'll give you a full day's wage. Just come and work. Help us close out. Help us meet our deadline. Help us get this done. And then, of course, the people who have been working all day are like, wait, this is not fair. They got paid a full day's wage, you know, but they only worked half a day. Well, they only worked part of the day. I worked all day. That's not fair. And Jesus is like, but didn't you do what I agreed to you? We agreed this. The benefits are the same. This is the way it is in the kingdom of God. See, some of you here, you feel like you're least. But God doesn't really like me. The benefits aren't really for me. You know, God doesn't really like me. I just barely got a little bitty toe into the kingdom of heaven. I'm so bad. God doesn't like me. I'm the least of these. I'm the very least person in the kingdom of God. I'm not important. You know, all these things. We want to feed the lies. You want to feed yourself. Even you who like to have those pity parties, you know what I'm talking about here. I'm not good enough. God doesn't really. This is what the scripture is speaking to you, because he clarifies. He says, even the least of them to the greatest, God says, they all shall know me. This is our promise. I can hear from God. It's a great benefit. John 10:27 is a passage we read a few weeks ago. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He is our great shepherd. I can hear from God. We can hear his voice. Here's the problem. Let's look at it. Here's the problem. We don't have a hearing problem, and God doesn't have a speaking problem. But we have a recognition problem. That's really where we lie in our weakness, is learning to recognize God's voice. He's speaking to us, and we can hear. But what we have to tune in and get better at is learning to recognize when God is speaking to us. This is where the real problem is. When I call my wife on the phone, and one of the kids answers and tries to act like their mom, hello, this is Mayo, how may I help you? I'm like, Hayden, I know it's you, let me talk to your mom. Or Hallie, I know it's you, good try, let me talk to your mom. How do I know this? Because I've been calling that beautiful voice for almost about 26 years now. We've been dating and been married for 26 years. I've been calling that beautiful voice. And I know there's nobody else with that Arkansas accent. He talks like this. And when she answers the phone, I know her voice. I do. I know that voice. I know that voice. Why? Because we spent decades together. I've learned to recognize her voice. And she knows my voice. See, we got to be able to recognize God's voice. We must be able to recognize the voice of God. See, sometimes we live our life like we're living in the Old Testament. We live our lives like we're living in the Old Testament. Some of you think the only person that can hear from God is a prophet or a priest or God's chosen one. And you go around, we see them all the time. People go around chasing big name pastors or prophets, people who put a prophet in their name, and they go around for crusade to crusade or meeting to meeting, chasing around, thinking, man, I got to have them speak a word to me, man. Oh, they didn't speak it. I'll go next week over here. Hopefully they'll speak a word to me, man. Hopefully they'll speak to me. I need a word. I got to speak a word. Be still and listen to the Lord. He's already speaking to you. Can God speak through a prophet? Yes, he can. But when God speaks to a prophet, it should be, as a Christian, when he speaks to me, it should be already confirming what God is already trying to speak to me. Sometimes God's speaking to me, and God, is that really you? I'm feeling this. I don't know. And then he'll send a friend along. With, hey, I just feel my spirit. God wants you to know this. He's like, oh, yeah, I've been feeling that. Thanks. You know, it should confirm to you what God's already speaking to you. You don't have to have a prophet speak to you. God has already opened the door now because Jesus is my prophet. He can speak to me. Do I need to hear pastors? Yes, I do. Do you need to hear teachers? Yes, I do. Do I need people who can come along and speak to me? Yes, those things are all work in harmony. But I can also hear from God if I will just listen. You can do the same. You can hear from God if you'll just listen. Learn to recognize his voice. He is speaking. We've got to tune in and listen to what he's saying to us, confirming in our spirit. Number two, what does it mean that he's my priest? What's it mean that he's my priest? It means, number two, I can talk to God. I can talk to God. In the Old Testament, only the priests were allowed to talk to God. In the Old Testament, the priests were only allowed to talk to God, and they could only talk to God one time a year. And when they went into the talk to God, now remember, they did the sacrificing of the lambs twice a day. They offered the sacrifices for the lambs twice a day. But they could only talk to God once a year. And when they got ready to go into the holies of holies and talk to God, they had to wear the special robe. They had bells on the end of it. And they would put ropes around their ankles as they walked in, because when those bells stopped ringing for a long period of time, they knew that person was probably not clean. And they fell over in the presence of God, dead. Bam! I mean, it was a lot of risk going to talk to God, because if he wasn't clean, if your lamb wasn't accepted, if you had any unconfessed sin, you were unclean. If you had not followed the law that had laid out, bam, bam, it was crispy critter time. Bam, you're gone, man. And so the bells were ringing, stopped ringing. They had to pull them out because ain't nobody going in to pick them up. I can tell you that right now. They knew they'd be dead. And so this is how tight it was. And so they were only allowed to talk to God once a year. But we see, look at this right here. I love this. Hebrews 7:27. Look what it says. Unlike those other high priests, talking about Jesus now, our high priest. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all. Let's say it together. Once for all. One more time. Once for all. When he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already offered it. Remember us talking about Jesus the Lamb. He has already been the Lamb sacrificed for you and I. He has already paid the price. Look at your neighbor and say, debt is paid. In full. God has paid our debt in full. Jesus has paid our debt in full. It set us free. What's this mean? It means now I can talk to God. Jesus paid the price. My debt's been paid. Now look what Hebrews 4:16 says. Now because my debt is paid, I can now come boldly to the throne, to the king, right? I can now approach the king boldly, the throne of grace, that we may obtain the mercy and find the grace in our help in time of need. How can I approach the throne with boldness? Because my debt's been paid. My debt's been paid. My priest has already paid the price. My priest has already given up the sacrifice. My priest has already said, this has been done. It is finished. Now you and I can walk boldly before God, not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we deserve, but now you and I can walk boldly to God and say, God, I need to talk to you. And God's like, I'm listening, brother. I'm listening, sister, son, daughter. I am listening. Why? Because the priest has paid our price. The lamb was offered up. Now we can boldly approach. We don't have to be in fear. I can't approach God. I'm not worthy. I'm not clean. No, his blood has made me clean. My relationship with my priest has made me clean. Jesus cleared the way for us. Now I can hear God. Now I can talk to God. Sometimes we have to clear out the outside noise to focus in on what God is really saying. There's times I try to talk to my kids and the TV's going, they're on their computer, on their phone, music's going, and I'm talking to them and like, do you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard you. What'd you say? I don't know. Yeah, you don't know because there's 10,000 things going on in the background. Stop, turn, listen to me, look at me. I need you to hear what I'm about to tell you. I have to make them focus in. Any parents feel my pain? You know what I'm saying? I have to make them focus in on what I'm trying to tell them. Sometimes we got to clear our minds. We've got to clear time in our schedule to focus in. God, you are speaking. God, I want to hear you. I need to have time in my day to hear God. Take time to focus in. He's here. He's talking to me. And now I can talk back to him. He's opened that door. This is what Jesus did. He opened the door. Now I can hear God. And now I can talk to God. I don't know how to interpret what God's saying to me. Well, this is the great news. You have an interpreter as well. His name is the Holy Spirit. This is really cool. This is why next week, man, we're going to get into this. You've been given not only a relationship to approach God boldly, and you can hear from God, but now you've also got an interpreter. You've also got a tutor to help you decipher, understand, and comprehend. And how does it apply to me? It's called the Holy Spirit. See, he's opened that door for us. I can hear God. I can talk to God. And number three, what does this mean to my that he's my king? What does it mean that Jesus is my king? It simply means this: I can walk with God. I can walk with God. You can walk with God. I love what Revelation says in chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. It says, they will all agree to give him their power and authority. Together, they will go to war against the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Come on, we did a whole sermon on this a few weeks ago. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, right? Jesus, our Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb. Together, they will go to war against the Lamb. This is Jesus. But the Lamb will defeat them because he is what? The Lord of who? The Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. See, Jesus is just not a Lord and he's just not a King. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There is none higher than our Savior. And so if you have this false theology, and I think some of us have it sometimes, we think we see Satan and Jesus as equal, out here battling good versus evil, and they're on the same playing field. That's so untrue. Matter of fact, the Bible calls Satan the prince of darkness. He's given the title prince of darkness. But our Jesus, our high priest, our king, was given the title of King of Kings. Are you seeing the authority here? And the reason why it's already rigged is this. He's already defeated Satan on the cross. He's already defeated Satan. So therefore, it's not a battle of Satan versus Jesus. It's Satan versus us. Now he attacks us. But this is the good news. My daddy's a king. My daddy is the king. That should make you bold. That should make you confident. Satan, go ahead, mess with me. My daddy's the king. Ah, what you going to do? Mess with me if you want. That's all right, because my daddy's the king. My dad's the king. That changes my relationship. I can boldly now go to the Father. I can boldly now hear from the Father. It's not a battle that I'm going to lose. It's already rigged because my dad's the king. See, Jesus has already fought it, and he's won. Jesus is the king. I'm going to close with a story. It's an incredible story of a guy by the name of Mephibosheth. Don't say that three times. I don't want you cussing in church. But Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. There's a reason why people don't talk about him too much, because his name is really hard to say, but his name is Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was the descendant of Saul. He was actually the grandson of Saul. He was Jonathan's son. Now, remember in the story, when David was anointed king, before Saul had given up the throne, David was called out to be anointed the next king. And David and Saul's son, Jonathan, became so close. They had such a tight relationship. The Word of God says they had a covenant relationship. And Jonathan came to David and warned him, said, hey, listen, you got to leave, you got to flee. My dad just lost it. He's trying to kill you. He's put a bounty out for your head. Leave now. Go out the back way. I've arranged a way for you to escape. Leave and flee. Don't come back until I tell you it's okay. Leave, go. And so Jonathan warns David about his dad trying to kill him. And David leaves and goes and hides out in the cave. And later on, we find out in the story where Saul and Jonathan both were killed on the front lines in the battle. And both of them were killed in battle. And when word got back to the palace that the king and Jonathan had been killed, it says that Jonathan's son was being taken care of by a nurse or a caregiver, maybe his nanny, was there taking care. And she grabbed him in fear for his life as a young child. She took off running. They were going to run and hide him so he would not be killed. They were afraid that David was going to come and try to kill him because he was next in line. So out of fear, they took off running with him. When she took off running to hide him, she fell, and he broke his bones and his legs. And because modern science was not what it is today, he grew up a cripple from that day on. And so he was a crippled in hiding. He escaped to a far land that no one ever went to, some off-the-beat-path place that no one ever went to, in hiding, fear for his life the rest of his days. Now we see where he's grown as a young man, and all of a sudden, David's already been king for a while, and he remembers the covenant that he had made with Jonathan, his father. David didn't know about him, but he remembered Jonathan. And he asked his leaders, is there anybody from the house of Saul? Does anybody know of anybody who's still alive from the house of Saul that I can show some kindness to? They said, well, yes, David, there's a young descendant. It's Jonathan's son. His name is Mephibosheth. And he is there in hiding. David said, bring him to me. I want to show him kindness. So they went and got him. They brought him before the king. He was crippled, so they had to help carry him there and help him into the room. And David approaches the young man and says, listen, from now on, you're not going to be living out there desolate and by yourself alone. Get you and your family. You're moving into the palace. I want you to live in the palace. For now, the provision, you have the same provision I have. You'll have the same provision my children have. I'll provide for you. You'll eat from the king's table. You'll have the king's protection. You're going to live in the palace. And can you think what he must have thought? What did I do to deserve this? He doesn't come out and ask that question, but can you imagine if he did? What did I do to deserve this kind of treatment? And if David would have been honest and answered, he would have said this: nothing. You did absolutely nothing to deserve this treatment. But I'm the king. And what you don't know is this, that as your king, I made a covenant with your father. The word of God says they cut their hands and they tied them together and allowed their blood to flow from body to body. It was a blood covenant they had. A pact they had made. And David said, I will protect your house, man. I will take care of your house. We're like brothers. They had a spirit of brothers. And they made a blood covenant. And David would have said this, you don't know this, but I made a blood covenant with your father. And as the king, you're going to get in on that covenant. You get to come in now and have my provision. Eat from my table. You see, this is the same thing that happened to you and I. Our king, Jesus, made a blood covenant on the cross. And he didn't make a covenant with you and I. He made a covenant with the Father. And all we have to do is believe in what that covenant is. Believe in the power of the cross. Believe in the power of the blood of the Lamb. Believe that he is my king. And we get in on the covenant. And now, our Heavenly Father, I can come boldly. Why? Because I got a covenant with the king. And he made a covenant with the king. And now we get in on that covenant. Isn't that amazing? He is my prophet. Speaks to me. He's my priest. I can speak to him. And he's my king. Now I can approach him. Now I can walk with him. I'm in on the covenant. Let's bow our heads today. I want to ask the question today. If you're here, say, Pastor, I need in this covenant. This is pretty cool. I'm hearing this for the first time today, and I realize I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can't change on your own. Stop trying to change on your own. None of us are good enough on our own. We allow him to change us. We allow him to come and do the change in our life. But it starts with a simple act of faith of saying, I believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, who died for me and my sins on the cross. I've never prayed that prayer before, Pastor. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But today, if you're ready to say, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life, can you just simply raise your hand up where I can see you so I know? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else want to join these people today? If you raised your hand, put it down. You say, Pastor, I really wanted to raise my hand. If that's you and you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. One more time. I'll give you one last chance. Raise your hand. Thank you. Yeah, I see that hand in the back. Thank you, guys. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, the Christ, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Come on. Yeah, this is so cool. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, we invite you to stop by our information center in the back. We have a free Bible for you. We'd love to give it to you. In that Bible, some information on next step things we want you to be aware about. Listen, you need a church home. Be connected to people who can support you. If you don't have one, please come back. Let us love you and just accept you and help you, encourage you. If you have a church home, go back and tell somebody in that church, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. Stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, today this message was speaking right to me. I need to approach God more boldly. I need to realize that He is my prophet, my priest, and my king. Anybody here, this word spoke to you today? Raise your hand if that was you. Yeah, okay. All right. We're going to close this song, and I want you to make it personal. God, I love you. God, I want to know you. Let it echo through the streets this morning.
So let it echo from the city to the nations, the sound of praise. So let the windows of the heavens open wide. Let it rain.
I invite you to raise your hands one more time. I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are the Christ, the anointed one. I pray that, Father, this week, this word would come alive to us, knowing that, God, we can hear you, we can talk to you, and we can walk with you every day because you are our anointed one. You've been anointed. You've cleared the way for us so that we can now walk in a more closer, intimate relationship with you. That you can work through us as your hands and feet. We can be your mouthpiece because you speak to us, God. We can show your love and kindness because you work through us. Father, right now I pray that, God, we draw closer to you than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you receive that word today, put your hands together. Give God a clap of praise. Can we do that? Remember, two things. Next week, Holy Spirit, we're going to start that series. Invite people to come. It's going to be life-changing. If you filled out a card, junior high and high school student, stop by the back table, give it to them. We'll see those who can come at 4 o'clock for reception. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, guys. Thank you.